That on there. Tell me, hey, Brother Fletcher, how you doing? I remember when you preached last time, you made fun of me, so I have a joke for you. Don't turn me down. Can you hear me? Oh, well, get this across here. But it's been a joy. Before the joke, because that's important, but I was thinking, preacher, August 1st was when we first came. You asked me to come August 1st. And do y'all remember, it was sometime back, do you remember back in the back corner by the buses, we were living out of an RV? Anybody remember that? I was sitting there thinking, living in the RV, like the Beverly Hillbillies. And it was like, you remember that, boys, living in the RV? I had to come in and do my laundry down in the locker room and take showers down there. And you never take a shower, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I was just laughing at that, and I have a joke here. I have to tell you it. Give me one second, because it is funny. Here it is. I found your joke, Brother Fletcher. Brother Fletcher, he wanted to buy a horse, and on Craigslist, he saw this Christian horse, so he went to check it out. And when he got there to the ranch, the horse owner said, "It's easy to ride him. You just say, praise the Lord to make him go, and amen to make him stop." And so Brother Fletcher jumped on the horse, and he said, "Praise the Lord." And the horse started to walk. And then Brother Fletcher said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And the horse started to run. And now Brother Fletcher saw the cliff and said, "Amen." And the horse stopped. And Brother Fletcher White said, "Praise the Lord." I know, it was good. It's good. It's good to have good friends that don't mute you when they can. But it is good. Preacher, thank you so much. And it has truly been a blessing being here. I think we've been here now 3 years, and it's truly a blessing. I learned a lot, and thank you, Pastor, for that. You've challenged me, challenged my family every single time you come up to preach, and I appreciate that. My wife is she wanted to be here, and some of you know she's pregnant. She's very sick of me. No, she's not. She's not. She is at home, but she goes back and forth with that morning sickness. So she's trying to do all these remedies. So if you have a remedy, just text it to her, like 100 of them, and she'll love it. And let her know what remedy you have. It was some years back I told you how I named my children. Is that right? Anybody remember that story, how I named my children? A few of you do? Oh, you need to hear this. So my first child, Ryan, came out. We prayed for Ryan, and the doctor told my wife, they said, you can't get pregnant. You can't get pregnant. To get pregnant is going to be extremely difficult because whatever's going on inside, can't get pregnant. So we prayed, and we actually asked a pastor in the church, say, let's anoint her with oil. And we did. We went down there, we prayed, anointed her with oil. And 1 year later, the doctor said, "Hey, you're pregnant." And so we were like, "Oh, yeah, we're going to have a child." And so we're having this, our first child at home. And so we got the home all set up, and we didn't know if it's a boy or a girl. And all of a sudden, a baby comes out, and there's our child, and they say, "What do you name it?" And I had no name. I'm like, "I don't know. Ryan sounds like a good name." So we named him Ryan. And then Levi came out. Levi, his word has a meaning of attachment, attached, and he was truly attached, and we learned attachment during that time. So we named him Levi. And then Luke came out. Luke, you have nothing real good about you. I'm just kidding. Luke came out, and God gave us the name of Luke, and we are so proud of him. And your meaning means something different than all the rest of the boys, but we still love you, Luke. And then the other one came, the other one, Noah. And that one, I got his name by when she told me. I said, "No," and we named him that. And then the little one with the horns came out, Jake. And we had that one, and then this one that comes out, we're going to name Oops. So we got all the names taken care of. My wife's watching right now. Sorry, babe. I know you said don't tell that joke, but we did. And God is good so many times. Is God good to you? God good to you. And he's good. He's so good. The music was wonderful. Young people, praise the Lord. And I'm so excited. You know, all the young people. There's many young people that have come to me for different things and said, "Hey, can we do things?" And I think there's been a few of the young people that said, "Hey, we want to do a service, like a youth service." And I said, "What do you want to do? Take over the service?" They're like, yeah, we want to take over the service." And I was proud of them. They came to me with a gospel video. They wanted to help raise some finances. This gospel video is by Caleb Garraway. He put it together, and he put it in a whole bunch of different languages, but it takes money to translate it into another language. And the teenager, it took $150 to translate it into one language. I said, okay, if you want to do it. And they did. And they came through, and they didn't just do one language. They came up with $300 from their parents' pockets, and they paid for that. And I was so proud of them for doing that. We had some of them, I saw them, they all got together at camp. They all got together as a youth group and decided to be on fire for God and decided to live a real Christian life at camp. They all got together, started praying together. Oh, how sweet it was to see the youth of America get together and pray together. I see enough of them fight. We hear enough of them fight. But to get together and all pray together at camp just broke my heart. I just loved it. And I thank God for that. God has been so good. And, you know, through all this time, you know, I've been able to spend time with Pastor and create a relationship with him. And some of you, I've been able to create a relationship, some of them fun, and some of them maybe not so fun. But Brother Bill, I think of you and our relationship, and we play disc golf whenever we can. And some of you out here, some of you have been such a blessing to my family and our relationship that we've created. And I appreciate that. I appreciate it so much. So many of you have asked about my wife and about her father and how he's doing. And he's doing well. He is improving very slowly. And they just got good news the other day saying maybe a week and a half and he may be able to go home in a wheelchair. So we're praising God for that. And the prayers that many of you said you're praying for him. And we appreciate that. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Prayer means a lot to me. And I don't take prayer lightly. And I believe that God hears our prayers. And I love to pray, and I love when other people say they are praying. It means a lot to me. You know, all the relationships through all the different times and all you folks out there. And I can look through the whole auditorium, and most of you, we've encountered each other at one point in time. And I really appreciate the faithfulness of the folks here in this church. I appreciate you so much. It means a lot to me. And I know Pastor Clear, it means a lot to him also. You know, standing behind, having a man of God, first of all, Pastor Clear, our man of God here. Some churches do not have a pastor, and we do. And let us never forget that. We do have a man of God that stands upon the word of God, that preaches the word of God, and is not ashamed of the word of God. He does not back down on it. He can tell us what sin is. He can tell us direction. Thank God for our pastor. Thank the Lord for him each and every day, and create a relationship that way. But if you go to James chapter 4, a familiar passage, I believe, James chapter 4, you know, it talks about wars, rumors of wars. But we're going to be James chapter 4, verse 8. This message is very simple. Once I open it up, you will realize what this message is all about. It's not a very hard message to preach. It's not a very hard message to understand. But this message is very near and dear to my heart. I believe that this message here is extremely simple, but it is vitally, vitally important, this message. And so James chapter 4 and verse 8, and I believe many of you know it. If you've ever heard this verse, would you just raise your hand real quick? You've heard James 4, 8, so the majority of you. It reads this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Would you pray with me? I'm going to pray. Would you pray in your hearts with me right now? Heavenly Father, we do come to you again today. God, you have been so good to us. The message this morning, Pastor is... And then preached, and he's taught, and he has delivered, and Father, everything you have done, Lord, even today, we want to give you all the honor, all the praise for it, because, Lord, first of all, you're worthy of it, and we want to thank you for that. And Father, right now, as we look into your word, we know that there's truth here, and Holy Spirit of God, if you would just go around right now, and if you would just open ears and open hearts and convict, Father, we just ask you that your word would be presented correctly. Your word would be presented the way it should be in each and every heart. If there's someone that's here that is not saved, oh, Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would go and put the conviction upon them. If there's someone here that's just battling or struggling with a relationship, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do that thing that you do so well, and that's comfort. Would you comfort them? Father, use your word. We ask you this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. James 4, 8. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know, in Genesis 1 and verse 26, it talks about that we people are created in the image of God. We're created in his image. And that's an unbelievable truth right there. That truth, if we just understand that truth, there would be a lot of arguments stopped, there'd be a lot of political things that are going on stopped if we just understand that we're created in the image of God. Every human being was created in his image. Therefore, we are to treat everyone as they are created in the image of God. There is no one better, no one, neither the levels won't be there. It's just we are in his image. You're in the image of God. That would solve a lot. Revelations 4, verse 11, it talks about God. If you'll go there, go to Revelations 4, 11, would you please? Revelations 4 and chapter 11, chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, I love that verse. Whenever it talks about my Lord or my God and it talks about who he is, I rejoice in my heart. Anybody else that way? I love it. I love learning and hearing about my God being exalted and lifted up. There's something that excites me when young people get up here, you talk about God and his grace, and I can go to him anytime and I don't have to share God with anybody, but I get all of him. There's something about it that just gets me excited about God, the God that saved me, the God that I pray to, the God that I worship. That God, when you talk about him, I get excited in my heart. It starts to come out, and it's just something that gives me that peace that passes all understanding, that joy, the excitement. Sometimes we sit back there. Now, my wife and I, we raise our hands, and we say hallelujah and things like that. We like that, but we try to retain ourselves, too. We try to. We try to get the message across, let it get across, but we do, but sometimes the Holy Spirit of God just moves on you, and you get so excited about who God is, who he is, and that just excites me about who God is, because that who God is who I get to serve each and every day, because he's worthy of my service. I love that about God. And when you understand that, when God is worthy of your praise, God is worthy of you opening your mouth and rejoicing in his name and his attributes and his character, and you're saying that's who God is. If God has grace and God gives you grace, you can praise him. If God is mercy and he's given you mercy, you can praise him for who he is. But you know, it takes a minute to step back and look about what I'm saying. To praise him that way, it's not a glory on who I am, but to praise God that way, it only comes through a relationship. And if you look at that verse, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Did you know it comes in a relationship where that excitement began for me as a Christian? It came way back when I learned about the saving and the loving Savior, Jesus Christ, that could take my sin away and I could have a secured eternity with him in heaven. It took that to get me to where I am today, about glorifying for who he is and what he does in my life. And you know, we can look and we can see this, that this is true, that way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were created. And they were created for a purpose and a reason. And they had jobs to do, but the reason of you and I is to glorify God with our life. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to glorify him. Everything that was created for him, to give him glory. You were created to give God glory. That is your purpose in life. If you say, I don't know what my purpose in life is, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I don't know what my job is, I don't know who I'm going to marry, I don't know who I'm going to... Well, your one purpose in life right now, today, through the scriptures, is to glorify your God. To glorify him with your life. Glorify him. Lift him up, exalt him, and worship him the way he ought to be. But that comes through a relationship. So what happens is this, is that Adam and Eve were created, and they're there to glorify God, but then something came, and that was sin, and that sin came, and the sin always separates us from God. So there's this huge separation. God separated them out of the Garden of Eden. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, it separated their relationship, broke their fellowship, broke with God. It separated them. Sin always separates. If you ever feel separate from God, and you know you're a Christian, you can look inside your heart and say, God, would you reveal the sin to me? And it's amazing how many times, if you've ever prayed that prayer, God, would you show me where my sin is? Oh, man, he brings the list out. And you're just like, oh, okay, slow it down a little bit. And he brings a list out, and then he'll show you where your sin is. If you search God, you will find him. But you go to God, and you see that there is sin there. But sin separated us. What did it separate? It separated our relationship. Adam and Eve were separated in a relationship with God. And God looked down and said, that's not what you were created for. You're not created to be separated from me, God said. But you're created to be have a glory with me, and there was supposed to be a relationship with me. And so I, being the loving God that I am, I don't want there to be a separation. I'm going to take my only begotten son, and that only begotten son is going to be born, he's going to live, he's going to die, he's going to be buried, and then he's going to be risen again to take care of the problem of sin that separates our relationship. You know, salvation, you say, I got saved, so I didn't have to go to hell. That is true. I got saved. I got saved because I was scared of hell. Okay. I got saved because I needed my sins forgiven. Yes, that's true. But the reason God wants you to accept his son is so that you can have a restored relationship. I've preached this and preached this and preached this. I've preached some of it here in a summer room before. But it is vitally important. Christians today, sometimes our relationship is so attacked by the things around us. Our relationships are being attacked all over the place. Maybe not just with God, maybe it's your relationship with who you're with, but I do believe that our relationship with God, it directly affects the relationships that we have with others. And I believe that. I believe that my relationship with my God will directly affect my relationship with my wife. I believe that my relationship with my God will directly affect my relationship with my children. I have seen through the many years that a teenager that has a relationship with God will have a certain type of communion with my spirit, a relationship with me. I noticed that teenagers through the years, when their relationship veers from God, then they often veer from their authorities. And I've seen that time and time again. But our relationships are oftentimes attacked on every front. And I'm here to tell you, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Christian, it's time that you look at your relationship with God on purpose and see, what is your relationship with God like? What is it like? You say, this is kindergarten for some. You're like, I understand this. I know this. But it sometimes is scary to me to understand that other Christians out there, we oftentimes fight and fight and fight for everything else in life, and we leave our relationship with God out. A lot of times our relationships with others struggle because our relationship with God struggles. And I have tried to disprove this theory, and I'm going to be a little transparent here. The other day, months and months and months ago, I was irritated with my wife, Amanda. And I thought, why can't she just understand me? And I was just in my head, I was right, and she needs to understand me. And I went back into my office, and I was thinking about this, and I had opened a book up, and it was a Christian author, and I was reading it. And, oh, did I read something that just, what? And it talked about my relationship with my God would affect my family. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart. And I was like, wow, you mean that the way I treat you, God, can directly affect my family? And it just laid heavy upon my heart. And I thought, you know what? If this is true, I'm going to try it. And I'm glad I had that attitude. I'm glad I had the attitude of I'm going to give it a try. I'm glad I didn't have that stubborn will, that pride that flares up, because that's exactly what James chapter 4, from whence comes wars and fightings among you, come not hence there from your lust and from the members. I mean, James 4, if you've read it and you know it, it talks about all these things that are going on in the world, all these things that can go on in your life, and all these struggles and all these battles and all these things. And then he has right in there, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And so I tell you, I put it to the test. I said, God, if this is true, what this preacher is saying is true, I'm going to give it a try. And I went to God and I confessed my sin. I said, God, I'm wrong here. I'm wrong and I want to do this right. Holy Spirit, I want to please you. And Holy Spirit, if you'll allow me, if you'll forgive me, you'll allow me, I will do my best in this area and I'll make it right. You know, something vanished about that argument. It just vanished. And when I went home the next time, I didn't even have that argument. I didn't have nothing. What happened? The Holy Spirit of God took care of business when I took care of business with him. And I'm here to say to you as a testimony, I've seen God work firsthand in my life in this area of my relationship with God directly affects my relationship with my wife, my family, and those that you work with. It's directly related. And so here we have, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. This drawing nigh is not a hard thing, but let's put it this way. I'm just going to word it this way. It's moving into his presence, not dragging God into your presence. But when you're talking about drawing nigh to God, it's you moving his direction and going into his presence and taking on his things, drawing nigh to God. It's not pulling God into your busy schedule and saying, God, now fix this. It's saying, I'm setting my schedule down and I'm moving into your presence, God, and I want you to take care of business in my life and I want you to orchestrate what goes on. And Lord, if I can trust you in that, Lord, if I can just put my faith in that area, I know you'll take care of it. But drawing nigh to God, you know, in fishing, there is a drawing in of the fish. You reel it in. Or back in the day, they used to cast the nets and they used to draw the nets in. Drawing, getting closer together, moving into the presence of it. But it's not just drawing nigh to God. It's not just saying, you know, okay, now I'm here in church. But drawing nigh to God is moving into his presence and then his things become your things. His stuff becomes your stuff. His instruction becomes what you want. Draw nigh to him. So it's, I want what you have. I'm moving in there. What is that? That's part of a start of a relationship. Real quickly, I've told this story many times, but my wife and I met in Bible college. At Bible college, I had this whole illustration of she coming in and she took some food and the angel sang, hallelujah, and all that stuff. But what happened is when I first saw her, and I was like, wow, I want to get to know her. I wanted a relationship to start with her. So then what did I do? I went to where she was. I found out where she was going to sit in chapel, and I sat by her. I drew near to her. And then all of a sudden, I was interested in what she was interested in. I want to know, hey, what do you like? Hey, where are you from? Hey, tell me about yourself. Hey, drawing nigh to God, getting to know who your God is in your life. And then when you get to know who he is, he provides what you need in your life. But what happens is that we get it going and we get our schedules flying and we get so organized that we organize God right out of our life. And when it says, hey, you have a relationship with God? Well, yeah, I go to church and I pray. That's good. Nothing's wrong with that. But your relationship with him is why God sent his son to die on the cross so you could have a renewed relationship with him. You will not live a full active Christian life if you don't get this part of a relationship with God, where you and God meet together on purpose and you get to know who he is on purpose. This purpose is what you need to grow your relationship with God. And once you get to know who God is, then you start to glorify him the way you were created to glorify him, because you know who he is. So my wife, I got closer to her. I got to know her a little better. I found out what she liked. So then I of course I told all my buddies, hey, I'm getting to know this person right here, Amanda, and oh man, we're getting to know. And then I found out what she liked. So then I started to give her and do things that she liked to do. And guess what? I started to give her things and do things she liked to do, and those things that I thought were so important weren't so important anymore. Why? Because a new relationship was starting. You know, in the Bible it says when you're born again, you become a new creature. You know, your relationship with God looked down and said, I want a renewed relationship with you. Here's my son, Jesus Christ. You looked up to God and said, God, I'm a filthy sinner. I need you to forgive me. But that's not all. Your relationship is what God is so very interested in. And if you have no relationship with God and you're going through your Christian daily life, what is it all about? That's where you find frustrated, and that's where you find frustrated Christians. That's where you find Christian couples that aren't getting along. That's where you find Christian young teenage Christians that you don't get along with your parents because you have not found out this thing about having a real relationship with Christ Jesus where you spend time and you actually worship him for who he is. You actually verbally, out of your mouth, you say who God is and you enjoy it because you know it's true and you love him for it and your relationship with God is so important to him. Don't overlook your relationship. You say, well, I pray and I read my Bible, and that's where it starts. It does. Prayer and reading your Bible, it starts there. But your relationship with God is what he wants. He wants that relationship so that your life can give him glory, full glory, all the glory. All the glory belongs to him. And he is so worthy of our praise and our glory. Did that just go over your head? He's worthy of your praise and your glory. He's worthy of it. He did so much for us, and he gave us so much. And we look at our life and say, oh, I'm so blessed and I'm so comfortable. But do you understand where it came from? You know, I lived in a house in Wisconsin, and God teaches me lessons in weird ways. So what he did is, the driveway coming in, the land that was there was given to me. The land was given to me by a gentleman that lived right there. The house was given to me. Well, drive in there, there's a big outdoor wood boiler. It was given to me by a church, given to me. I go into my door. The door was painted by a man that gave me the paint. I walk into the house, and I can look on the walls. It was given to me, given to me, given to me. The vehicle I drove in on was given to me. Everything I look at, I say, man, God, what on earth is going on? Everything that I have here is because you used some other person to bless my life, God. All I can do is look around and say, praise the Lord. What I have has been given to me by God, and Almighty God. And he looked at my life and said, no, is he perfect? No, he's not perfect. Pastor Ryan's not perfect. I'm not a perfect person, but he looked down and said, here you go. Here you go. Out of his love. It says, every time I had to pull in, it's given to me. You know, Pastor, right now, my driveway is halfway done by a gentleman that owns a company and said, you know what? Holy Spirit of God pricked my heart. I can't do this. I can't do this. We have to do your driveway for free. I'm like, what? What? Say that again? We're doing it for free. We're going to put a driveway in for free. So do you know, every time I stepped out of that driveway and I saw the broken up driveway, preacher, I prayed for that man and I prayed for his company. And every time I look at that driveway right now, I think, man, God, how worthy you are of my praise. He takes care of the little things in my life that I need. He's worthy of your praise. Draw nigh to God. How close have you gotten to God? Where is God right now? Right now, when you leave this building, where is God in your life? Where is he? Can you go to your home and point to where God touched your life? Can you go to your home and point, this is where we met with God? Can you go? I had a guy pull his vehicle up one time, and he came over and said, hey, just want to stop by, say hi to you guys, da-da-da-da-da. Gave us a picture of his family, and he's like, oh, here's a set of keys. And he gave me a minivan. And I was like, oh, man, I can't take your minivan. And then our family piled into it. You know, every time I got in that minivan, I saw the hand of God. Where is God in your life? My parents taught me this lesson. They taught me we were not very wealthy, so whenever we had a sport, we had to pay for tennis shoes for four boys, and it was kind of a pricey thing. So our parents said, oh, let's pray. They always prayed about everything. Let's pray. We got to get some tennis shoes for you. We need some money to get tennis shoes. So we pray, and know what? We would pray, and all of a sudden we'd have tennis shoes. Something would happen. Well, I remember they taught me this lesson. I had money in my account, and I said, Mom, Dad, don't worry about it. I can buy my own shoes this year. And you know, my mom and dad looked at me and said, no, you're going to pray about it. I was like, what? I got the money right here. And they're like, no, we're going to pray about it. And what were they teaching me? They're teaching me that it's not that I can just do it. It's that I need to have a relationship with God where I can go to him for everything. Everything. Say, God, I have this money. Is this what I use it on? Or God, should I just come to you again and say, hey, Father, would you help me out? Would you show me? Now, I'm not talking about that guy that in the flood and doesn't, you know, you ever heard the story? The guy, the flood comes in and he's like, I'm just waiting for God to save me. And the boat comes along. And I'm just waiting for God to save me. And a helicopter comes along. I'm just waiting for God to save me. And he drowns and goes to heaven and says, hey, God, why don't you save me? He says, I sent, you know, all these ways. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a relationship where you're close enough to God to ask him for things that he's already provided things, but you're close enough to God where you ask him for things because it's just the right thing to do because he's worthy of it. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Your Christianity is not a game to him. Your Christianity is just not filling in time to him. He is so interested in having a relationship with you. I was so interested in having a relationship with my wife, Amanda, that I would do whatever I could to learn everything about her, to make sure I took care of her. And then once I knew about Amanda, I was like, man, I don't ever want to be away from this woman. I'm going to marry this woman. We're going to be joined together. I drew near to her because it was important. And our relationship grew and grew and grew and grew. And I'm saying this to you today, Christian, you may be a senior saint, you may be brand new, but if you can grab a hold of this thing of having a real relationship with your Heavenly Father because he's worthy of your praise and he's worthy of his honor and he's worthy of you opening your mouth and using your vocabulary for him, if you'll realize that your relationship should not be shunned by how busy you are and your relationship should not be attacked and you should not give in your relationship for God, but your relationship with God is so vitally important to your spiritual walk. So vitally important. You say, Pastor Warner, this is an elementary lesson. You are correct. It's very elementary, very easy, very already understood. But the problem is, sometimes we allow certain things in our life to push our relationship with God away, and we never really fully get to see the hand of God move on our life. And we never really get to experience God doing something in a relationship that we thought could never, ever be resolved. Can I tell you, there was a man in our church, he did something horrible and we had to kick him out and all this stuff. And he was so mad, he threatened our life. I had to move my family for a time in Wisconsin. I had to hide my family for the night or two nights. And he was so mad, he was sending us all these crazy things. Like, hey, we're gonna kill you. We're gonna do all this stuff to you, blah, 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 blah. And I tell you, I was nervous at first. And I was like, what are we gonna do? And I was like, this guy's crazy. And man, I started getting upset at this guy. I started getting mad at him. He had my phone. He was texting me all night long. He was harassing me and all this stuff and going on and on and on and on. And I lived right down the road from him. Now, field road from him, old road. So, Brother Chris, you understand. It's like 2 miles, right? So I lived 2 miles down in the country from him. But I had to pass his house every single day to get to work. And I felt safe enough, brought our family home. And then I would pass his house and I would get mad and angry at that man. Man, I can't believe you do that to me. I can't believe he would get that way. You know, I'd pass his house and I'd feel it just burning up inside. And then it was the great Holy Spirit of God that struck my heart. And I learned that lesson. You know that lesson of humbling yourself before God and knowing who you are in Christ and knowing that I can sin just like anybody else can sin? I remember the day I forgave that man. I remember the day I forgave him, and I let it all go, and I gave him to God, and I could drive past his house, and I could say, I love my neighbor, I love my neighbor. I remember that day, and then it wasn't too long after that, he shows up at one of our church services, and he's like, I need to talk to you after. And I was like, oh, great, good thing I carry. I was like, man, so he took us pastors in, and he's like, I need to talk to you guys, and we're ready, man, we're ready for it. Man, it was like, ooh, let's do this. And he came in, and he apologized. He said, I'm so sorry. The way I acted was totally not Christ-like, da-da-da-da. And he told us how God worked in his heart, changed his life, saw that he was saw his need and saw what was going on. He apologized to us. My neighbor that was going to shoot me, kill me, hugged me. I said, man, Ryan, if you need anything, I'm right down the road. You know, that kind of love and that kind of thing that happens with God can happen with a relationship with him. You struggling with somebody today? Go to your God. Start drawing nigh to him. Get really close to him. They say you can't change people. You can't force anybody to change. But there's a saying that says if you want to change people, change yourself. Change yourself to be more like Christ. How do you be more like Christ? Figure out who he is. Get in a relationship with him. Where is God in your life right now? Where is he? Where is he? Because I can go outside, I can see him out there. I have an illustration out there. I got him in my office. I got illustrations in this room where God is, where his hand, his mighty hand has worked in front of my eyes, where I can give him glory. I can go home right now and I can look at my house and say, God, you gave us this thing, even though it's falling apart. You gave us it in my driveway. It's there. I can go inside and see. I look at my boys that I shouldn't have and say, God, right there. He's right there. That's what it is. I can give him glory and I can give him praise and I can give him honor and I can do it because he's worthy, and I can see through my relationship that there is a reason why I praise God, and there is a reason why I want to lift him up, and there's a reason why I want to serve him, and because of this relationship that I have. I know you got the concept. I know you got the truth. And thank you so much for sitting there patiently listening. We're going to ask you a favor. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute?